I made a bit of a U-turn in what I was going to talk about this morning. Maybe I should call it a left turn. But that always sounds negative, doesn't it? When you say somebody took a left turn, you're out in left field. This wasn't negative. It was a good thing. Because we're talking about something that, quite honestly, a lot of churches do not talk about. Either they don't believe that these things are still taking place. Those are people that are called cessationists. They believe that the miracles, they believe that the gifts of the Scripture ended when John, the Revelator, died. The last of the 12 disciples who brought the Revelation book to us. When John died, the last of them, they believe all of those things came to an end. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you will do greater things in the later days and the latter days than were going on in the former. That the power of the Holy Spirit is evident and working today in each and every one of you. Not me, not preachers, not worship leaders. You. God's working in you, in each of us, in every way. And so I decided that I wanted us to take some time and look at prophecy and the prophetic, which the Bible talks a great deal about. And I had something I was going to share with you this morning, and it was the first prophetic word ever given in the Bible. We're going to do that next week. But in talking about this with Katarina some more, because God has gifted her in this area, she has studied this for years and years. Books of notes that she's had that I've been able to make use of. But when we talked about this, you know, we said, I think we need to take a little bit more time of what we looked at last week. When we talked about the difference and the need of being aware of the fact that there is twistedness to prophecy operating today because Satan always wants to pervert what God does. You know that, right? Everything that God does, Satan wants to twist. Pervert it. Easy example. God created marriage to be the union of a man and a woman. That's not true in our culture anymore today. That's not of God. That's not God's doing. You say, wait a minute, God loves them. Sure he does. Of course he does. We are told to love everyone, regardless of whether you agree with them. And certainly churches and Christians are being challenged in that today, more than ever. I was talking to Dave a minute ago, and we were saying, you know, you can't just walk up and talk to strangers anymore like you used to be able to, because you never know what it is you're going to say that's going to trigger a reaction, and suddenly you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. You're labeled, all of those things that we call one another when we don't agree with them anymore. And now we can't agree to disagree. If you disagree with me, there's something wrong with you. That's how we live today. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's why as Christians today, we need to be more than ever spending time before God. We need more than ever to be knowing what His Word says. Because Satan wants to twist it and he wants to pervert it. Prophecy is called in the Bible a most desirable gift. The Apostle Paul writes this. Remember, I referenced all these things. If you didn't hear it, you don't remember, my notes, the sermon is always online. So you can go back and check that. But prophecy, Paul said, is one of the spiritual gifts. And there are several. There are quite a few. But he said, you desire all of them as God desires, but prophecy is important. Because as we said last week, God uses the prophetic word in order to encourage and to warn and to instruct his people. He does this all throughout the Old Testament. You remember the last 17 books of the Old Testament are all written by prophets of the Old Testament. Some names you recognize, some names you don't. Habakkuk is my favorite name. I've always encouraged people in the church, name your kid Habakkuk. How many kids get a name with 3 K's in it? That's just great. I love that. Rod, come on. That is your middle name. I didn't tell anybody that before. Rodney Habakkuk Booth. It's awesome. It sounds just flows, doesn't it? All right, don't get me off track. So we look at what it is that God created in the prophetic word, but Satan twisted it. That's why today you have things like seances. You have mediums, fortune tellers. All of these kinds of things that take away from what it is that God intended for that to be. The power of those things. And believe me, there is power in those things. Mediums do hear things. They're hearing things from the spiritual realm. But here's the difference. They're not hearing the voice of God. It's not God's voice. It's the voice of Satan. It's the voice of demons. Because they are active today. Do you realize 1/3 of the angels of heaven fell with Satan when Lucifer was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like the Most High? 1/3 of the angels went with him. Now the Bible tells us you cannot number the angels. So what's 1/3 of you can't number? It's a lot. And the demons are active. They're active in the spiritual realm, which you normally cannot see or cannot hear. But guess what else is active in the spiritual realm? It's the host of God, the army of the Almighty. It's the heavenly host, angels, the angelic, that are operating in our world today. And see, when we begin to think that those things are not happening, we allow ourselves to be positioned for the enemy to come in, and we begin to believe lies. We begin to believe things that are not true. And the prophetic of the Bible has been one of those areas that Satan has really keyed in on to bring confusion. Because again, if God gives prophetic word to encourage, warn, and instruct, Satan will bring it to discourage you. He'll bring those words that are false in order to make you think something is not true, which is, or try to make you to believe that something is true that is not. And that's why it's so important to understand what God's word says. And so I'm going to shift this week to next week. So you got to come back. It's an ongoing series. See, Pete, this is how I get you to come back every week. Is I lead you on with that so you can know what's coming. It's called a teaser. That's what it is, Pete. We asked the question last week, is there any difference between biblical prophecy and a medium? And of course, the answer to that is yes. And the most fundamental part of that is because, again, prophetic word comes from God. The operations of the medium or the occult come from the enemy, come from the demonic. You say, Pastor Dave, you keep pressing on that. Why do you keep saying that? Are we supposed to be afraid? No. That's the whole point of this, because we are not afraid. Anything is possible because of God. Again, as we sang that this morning, and that means you have the ability through Jesus Christ to understand these things, to comprehend them, so you don't get caught off guard, and more importantly, so you don't believe the lies. We talked last week that the word prophecy comes from 2 Greek words put together, pro, meaning before, and phimai, meaning to speak. So if you put those words together, it means to speak before something takes place. That's what the prophecy or the prophetic word is. And then we also, if you remember, we talked about the difference between prophecy and a prophet. Those are not the same thing. Every prophet will prophesy, but not everyone that prophesies is a prophet. Because a prophet is an office within the church. And what that simply means is, by the biblical definition, a prophet hears from God and relates that to the people. Here's what that means. He can never be wrong. You can't be wrong if you're a prophet. And that's why many people, I believe today, that are operating in the office of prophet are not prophets. They have a prophetic gift. Maybe they don't understand the difference. Or maybe they're confused. But see, that's the thing about things in the church. There should be no confusion when it's God. God brings clarity to situations. My favorite example of that is the demoniac of Gennesaret. You read this in the New Testament, where Jesus was walking with his disciples, and there was a cemetery that this demonic man was in, running around screaming, naked. Nobody could chain him. They couldn't contain him because of the strength was supernatural. And it said Jesus came in, and when the people of the town came out to see Jesus, the man was seated, clothed, and in his right mind. You see, God brings order to our minds. God brings order to our lives. And that's why I encourage you, as you're desiring to live a godly life, that there is order in your home. Order in how you do things. And that's why so many of those movements that you saw years ago in a number of different places that were talking about the winds of the Holy Spirit coming, you got people running all around the room, and they're barking and mooing and making sounds like animals and screaming and hollering, my friends, that is not the move of the Holy Spirit. That's a false action. Because God doesn't bring confusion. God doesn't take away your will. You do not act with no control over your life. God created us with a will. God would not take that away when He still gives us the will and the ability to even reject Him. And see, people ask, why is that? Why does God give us will to be able to reject Him? It's because of His love. Because He created you in a certain way. He created you with a mind and a heart, with an ability. And what He desires is for us to surrender that to Him. So when you're seeing or hearing about prophetic things, and I pray that that begins to operate more in our church here, and I think it will. I think that's a part of our growth, of where we're going to be going as a church, that there will be prophetic words that will come to people. You say, well, how do I know if it's from God or if it's not from God? Very simple. The only way that you can judge whether someone has the gift of prophecy is not by what they tell you they are. So know that first. If someone says, I'm a prophet, really? Let's hear it. It's kind of like going to a car place. You know, you get your car worked on. Sometimes they want to do all of this. I got a better example of that. Oh, let's go surgeon. Here you go, Bill. Let's go surgeon. I might want to talk to somebody that this guy's performed surgery on. Would you? How about, see, I don't, tattoos, that's just a strange thing. But there's nothing in my mind that if I was ever going to get a tattoo, and I don't think I'm going to, am I, honey? No, apparently not. No, that's... I can't even say a word that starts with tat, and she's going, no. Motorcycle's another word that I also can't get that word out before I'm, no, you're not doing that. So I don't think I'm going to get a tattoo. I don't have a problem with tattoos. But if I were going to get one, my first one, I'd want some names from that guy. Tell me who you've done this to. I want to go see them. I want to go see what you did to them. I want to make sure that it's okay. Well, we don't put tattoos in the prophetic together, but it's sort of the same thinking. If you believe that you've been given a prophetic gift, we're going to know that by what you say. Have you ever given a prophetic word? Well, no, but I have a prophetic gift. No, you don't. Or if you do, you're not using it and you need to. And the same can be said of a prophet. If a person claims to be a prophet, and you see this title so many times, especially in those big conferences that you go to, everybody has a title. Prophet Rod. Prophet. Prophetess Tara. They can never be wrong. They have to be perfect in every word that they give. That's how you tell whether or not that gift is truly there. Turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, because I want to talk about a couple of things specifically this morning about why we need to be aware of the truth of the prophetic. We have to be warned against the false prophecies that are taking place in the world. People that are claiming to speak for God, they may even be very popular. They may be best-selling authors. They may be on television constantly. That does not mean they're speaking for God. Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 9. I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, but I'm a pretty fast reader. But I want you to hear this now. This is Moses writing this down and giving it to the people. Deuteronomy, if no other way to say it, is part of Moses' farewell letter to the people. Verse 9, he says, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in, what's the next word? Witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Verse 12, anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. In other words, don't do those things. Verse 14, the nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. Did you see those words? Not permitted. You cannot do those things. Verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God nor see this great fire anymore or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Now, I'm not sure how you can look at that and interpret that as anything other than what it says. Those are things that Christians, believers, followers of God cannot be a part of. Why? Because if you do, you are opening a doorway for the enemy to not only enter your life, but to enter the life of your family, to enter the life of your home. That's why, men, you have got to stand guard over your home. You are the priest of your home. You cannot allow those things to be a part of it. And listen, I know I keep going back to this, but I think it's probably one of the most clever and insidious ways that the enemy has done that. And again, it's the Harry Potter series. It has turned divination and witchcraft into child's play. Cute, acceptable, fun. We can dress up. There was five people on a game show yesterday. What were they called? The Friends of, I don't know, Friends of Harry Potter or something like that. I mean, these were adults. Friends, please, and I asked you this last week, I am begging you, if these things are in your home, if your children are watching these things, your grandchildren, say the hard thing. Because you are saving them. You are preserving them. I can't state that strongly enough. You say, Pastor Dave, man, what if they laugh at me? Okay, what else you got? Because I don't think that being laughed at or being told that you don't know what you're talking about is more important than the salvation, than the preservation of the lives of your family. And there are so many other things like that, but just we need to be on guard. And I read that passage this morning because I want you to understand what God is saying. He's not saying, listen, maybe you shouldn't play around with that. Be careful. No, he's saying it's detestable. It's detestable. That word in the literal translation means that it cannot be stood for. It can't stand it. I can't stand this. That's detestable. That is where God brings these things that are the perversion of what it is that he has created. Well, in this passage that we just read, Moses and God are, in essence, they're having a conversation with each other about the children of Israel and the pagan nations that are all around them. I've been asked many times, why is it that in the Old Testament, God had the children of Israel, the armies, slaughter entire nations? Have you ever wondered that? Have you read sometimes where it says that he told them, don't let one man, woman, or child live? Now, those are hard things to read, especially when you're talking about God of love. How does that love? Well, you have to understand what God was doing in that time. He was preserving his people for himself. And he knew, because it happened time and time again, that if the Israelites became friends or became a part of some of these pagan nations, it would come into their system. It would come into their society. And it's why the nation of Israel fell ultimately, and the nation of Judah when the kingdom divided, because they worshiped foreign gods. Read the book of Judges sometimes. It's a cycle. I've shared this with you before. It's a cyclical story. It starts with the children of Israel worshiping foreign gods. God then comes and punishment must be brought to them because you cannot sin and escape the punishment that comes with it, just like you raise your kids. You can't let them do things against what you've said and there not be a consequence for that. So the children of Israel would worship foreign gods. The punishment would come. They would cry out and repent. God would send a judge that would lead them back to God. where they would then begin to worship foreign idols, the punishment would come. They would cry out. The judge would be appointed. And they would lead them back to God so that they could worship idols. It's a cycle. Now, don't sit there looking going, geez, I can't believe they do that. How many cycles are you working with right now? What cycles are you struggling with right now? Where it just, I can't seem to get over this. It's a cycle. But you know, God does provide a way out. But what that requires is that you surrender your will to Him. You have to surrender all of yourself to Him, including those things that you're kind of liking. They're probably not the best, but it's okay. No, that's the start of the cycle. And see, for Christians, for us, none of these things that we're reading about can have any place in our lives. Don't even read the horoscope in the morning. You're going, come on, Pastor. It's a doorway. It is a doorway. It comes from the study of the stars, the study of the created rather than the creator, and believing that the alignment and the movement of the stars impacts your life in a physical, tangible way. No, it doesn't. Sorry. I think I'm Cancer. That's what it feels like when I think about that stuff. June, I think that's whatever that is. It's all man-made. It's all created. And we take it and we make these things into like religions. My friends, don't even play with it. Stay away from it completely in your life. So Moses and God are talking. And he's writing all of these things down. He's saying, you got to be careful about these pagan nations. He's giving them a warning. But it always comes down, as I just said, to the will. It comes down to the will. What will are you following? What will are you hearing giving you direction and giving you instruction? So in verse 20, this is what God said. He said, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. Now that's pretty serious, isn't it? A medium is a person with a prophetic gift. They have a prophetic gift. Sometimes in the Bible they're called seers, but it's twisted. It's perverted. It's not the voice of God that they're hearing. They're hearing the voice of the enemy. It has to be someone speaking. See, that's something we have to understand. If it's not God, it has to be someone. And if it's not God, the only one left is the enemy. And so we can dismiss it as much as we want to. We can try to explain it away. But the fact is, if a medium is speaking, they are not hearing from the voice of God. It's the plans of the enemy. It's the plans that Satan has for your life. Do you know that Satan also has plans for you? And he wants nothing more than for you to ignore the things of God and to walk into those things that he wants for you. But you know what it is? And I've said this to you so many times, you can say it back to me. Satan is not creative. But he is clever, very clever. How many times have you ever been tempted to do something that was so horrific and so horrible you couldn't believe it? Now, who's going to do that? You're not going to do that. I was tempted once to go and blow up a train that was going across a trestle. I thought it would be neat to see that. That's absurd. Nobody's going to do something like that. However, Satan may come and say, there's this little thing over here, just this little thing. It's no big deal. Come on. We call them vices sometimes. When they become something that is not necessarily wrong within itself, but it becomes something that's important to me so much so that it takes control of me. That's what a vice is. I've got a friend of mine, loves cigars, loves to smoke cigars. But he came to me and he said, I'm not smoking them near as much anymore. Because he said, I realized that I was starting to plan my day around when I could have my next cigar. That's a vice. When you start thinking, you say, yeah, I have a little bit of wine at dinner, you know, that kind of thing. Well, suddenly that turns into something much more, and I'm planning my day around, can I go get something to drink? Is it 5 o'clock someplace in the world? See, that's a vice. God wants us to give over the entirety of our lives to Him, everything. Our desires, our joys, our struggles, our triumphs, all of those things, even the least little things that you think God can't possibly care about this in my life, I guarantee you He does. He has the very hairs of your head numbered. The Bible says he knows when a sparrow, and the reason the Bible used that bird was because in biblical times there were billions of them around. I mean, there were uncountable numbers of these things. God said, in the scripture it says, God knows when a sparrow falls and hits the ground. So if he cares about that, do you not think he cares as much or more about you? The only thing of creation that God said was very good was his creation of us. He loves you. He cares about everything that you're doing in your life. He cares about every thought, every action, every word that you speak. God cares about those things. There are a number of television programs that are on today that deal a lot with mediums, ghosts, spirits. They're actually kind of funny because they're obviously very trumped up and very contrived to make you want to watch. They're somewhat entertaining. But there is a phenomenally dangerous element within that, especially because these people have no idea what they're dealing with. I shared with you before that Katarina had the experience. She and I were down in Gettysburg, and we went to this place that was a antique place, yeah. Three floors and a basement. So we're looking around. We're going, this is awesome. We headed down to the basement, and they had some things down there. And we came upon this mannequin that had the blackest black dress I have ever seen in my life. And there was a table set over here with some cameras. And there were pictures in days in the 1800s and back in those times. They used to, I can't remember now off the top of my head what they called it. But when someone in your family died, they would do a family photograph. They would dress the corpse in their clothes and set them, and you would have a family photograph taken with that person. I forget again what that's called. But we went back up to the table up at the top, and we said, hey, what was it? What's going on downstairs? And before I tell you that, I can tell you, she and I, when we walked down there, we almost started physically shivering. There was such an evil cold about that area. It was just demonic from top to bottom. And so we went upstairs and said, what is that all about? I hope I'm remembering this right. What? What was it? What? Am I remembering this right? Am I getting the story right? Yeah, it was just an aversion to it completely. And that you could sense and feel the darkness that was down there. It was almost tangible. Thank you. So we go upstairs, they say, well, they said, we have people that will come, and there's a portal down there, a spiritual portal that we have had opened, and we've had photographs of spirits and these kinds of things. And we both said, wow, really? I mean, that's really what you're doing down there? So she said, well, no, it's okay. We have a Catholic nun that was also a part of that. And so they said, it's okay, we're fine, we're good, it's okay. We couldn't get out of there fast enough. I think I bought a pair of cufflinks or something like that. We got out in the car and we prayed over them. Dear Jesus, don't let anything be attached to these cufflinks. I might have even thrown them out. I don't know. But it was just incredible. And again, it's people that are walking in things they think are innocent, but they're dangerous. And the Bible tells us don't have anything to do with those things. A couple more things, and I'm going to wrap this up for this morning. Isaiah points out in these verses, this is Isaiah 8, 19, and 20. It says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of God? So to be talking to them and trying to find out what's coming, we as Christians, we say, no, we go right to God. Should we not be seeking his will for our lives? He said, why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Now, what is Isaiah? What are the words he used there? He says, people that whisper and mutter. That's an incantation. It's chanting. Those types of things. But what else about whispering and muttering? It's hard to hear. There's confusion that becomes a part of that. And what does the Bible say about where evil things dwell? Psalm 11:2 says, for look, the wicked bend their bows, they set their arrows against a string to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. From the shadowy things. John 3:19 to 20. This is Jesus speaking. He said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And see, again, the Bible is very clear. We're not to try to communicate with the dead. We can't do that. God says so. You don't do that. If God does not allow the dead to communicate, for us to communicate with the dead, why would he allow them to communicate with us? And see, those people, when you go to a medium, you go to a spiritualist, and they say, your grandmother is telling me that something, something, something. I'm telling you what, that's not their grandmother that they're hearing. It's a demonic voice. And see, there is some knowledge there, because often you go to those places and they'll say something that you're going, wow, how would you know that? That's because there is some authority, there is some power in the things of darkness. That's why we stay away from those things. Let me share with you just one more thing, one more experience, and then I'm done. I asked her if I could say this. Katerina has had a tremendous amount of experience in these things. The prophetic, as I said, she's done intensive studies into these things, just listing scripture after scripture of what the Bible says. My wife has a prophetic gifting. She has the particular gift of the discerning of spirits, which is the ability to be able, when someone is coming and speaking, to sense and to know the spirit of that person, whether it's good or bad, whether it's right or wrong, whether it's genuine or whether it's false. Yes, I do count on her to hear those things. Her family has a prophetic gifting, particularly the women. Tara has that. Your daughter has that. Donna, Cindy, Mom. The women of that family have a prophetic gifting that God has given them. When Katerina was young and innocent, because she had not read the Word, she was attending a church that did not use the Bible. They didn't preach from the Word, so she had no knowledge of these things. But as she began to recognize that there was something about this, she thought, well, I can go learn about this. Where else can I find this information? And she began to go to mediums. She began to go to readers. But before she would go, she would say, God, please speak to me through these people. Now, that was an innocent ignorance that she had, and God protected her because of that. But you see, here's what Satan was doing. My wife is unusual in a lot of ways. I mean that in the nicest way, sweetheart. Is she looking at me right now? Am I all right here? Is this what's on her face? Is she? My wife has none that I'm aware of. She doesn't have any vices. You know the vices I was talking about? She doesn't have any of those. And see, Satan will use those things to get entry into your life because something gets perverted or twisted. And I know I keep using those exact same words, but they're the best fit for all these things. So if you like having a glass of wine at dinner or something of that nature, and then suddenly it becomes so much more that it's controlling your life, that's a way that the enemy can get in because things are out of order. But what if you don't have any vices? Well, what the enemy did was he came and he attacked her spiritual gift. And out of that innocent ignorance, she did not understand. These two things were diametrically opposed to each other. You can't go to someone speaking with the voice of the enemy asking God to give you a word through that. Now, that got revealed to her pretty quick because she started to read the Word. And she stopped immediately being a part of those things. She asked God to forgive her. But you see, when you come to that place of recognizing that the truth of God is the only thing that will set you free, your desire for those things falls away. Those things are not important to me anymore. People that get involved in things like crystal energy and those kinds of things, that's all New Age. It's all Far Eastern mysticism and all of that. My friend, those things are all of the enemy. There's nothing of God in any of that because anything that takes us away from God is not of Him. It's not of Him. He does not share His glory with anyone or with anything. So I share all this with you today because I want you to understand the importance of this gift. To understand and recognize, to operate within the prophetic realm of God's creation is to operate in something tremendously important and powerful for the good of the body. As soon as it becomes anything else, we're not going to have a part of that. And I feel like God's tested us over our 10 years together. We've had people that have attended this church that were trying to bring in some of those philosophies. You didn't know about them because he didn't need to. I didn't want it to get into the church. They didn't come very long. Had a couple sit-downs with some of them. And I wanted to be careful about that because I didn't want to hammer on them because it's not them that's doing that, even though they're the vehicle. Does that make sense? That's why you love your enemies. You don't crush those people who are operating out of the realm of God. You love them. You want to see them restored, but you still have to speak the truth. And so I had to speak the truth to these people to say, listen, what you are promoting, what you believe is not godly. It's not a part of the scripture, and it's going to have no place in this church. You can still come to this church, but you're not going to be talking like that. You're not going to speak those things to people, and I will make sure that you don't. Well, they didn't come to church. That was, and that was fine with me. Good solution. Thank you, Lord. Pray that the guy she goes to next or that person goes to next will also understand you don't have those things. So we will always guard and protect this body. Katarina, myself, some others that are important, that pray, that have this gift. We're going to guard and protect you. But I want us to operate in the things of God, in the fullness. So you're thinking, man, I can't shake this feeling I have. There's something going on. I got a feeling about this. Nothing's happened, but I'm thinking it might. What do I do? You come talk to her. You come talk to somebody here at the church. Come to me. Because that's what the Bible says. You do these things together in order and in righteousness. We got lone wolves running around doing all those kinds of things. That's when you get in trouble. That's when churches come fractured because somebody believes in them, somebody doesn't. I'm going to do what the pastor says. The pastor doesn't know what I'm talking about. I'm not doing that. And pretty soon, you got a broken church. See, we're not going to let that happen here. And it's not because I say it's not. It's because God knows that we are His, that we belong to Him. We're only going to do the things that the Word of God says. We're only going to operate in the truth of what His Word says. So I want to encourage you. If you feel like something I've said this morning is prompted to go, man, I don't know, maybe there's a prophetic thing that God wants to do in me. Come talk to her. Talk to her. Tell you, listen, this is what's going on. And we'll help you to grow in that. So that God can use that gift in you for any number of reasons. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to come up front and say, thus saith the Lord, I believe and verily. You don't have to talk in King James English when you're given a prophetic word. Okay, I just want to let you know. It's okay to just talk normal. But we want you to grow in that. We want this church to grow, to be all that it is that He has called us to be. Because it's in that that we're going to see Him move. It's going to see the strength and the growing in each of us continue. And then you know what happens? Now, you're an influencer at work. You're an influencer at school. You're an influencer in your home. And that's where God wants us to be light in that dark place. Let's pray. Well, Father, I just thank You for the truth of Your word. And God, there's an awful lot to this. And I pray, God, that my words have been adequate to explain this so the people can understand, and there's so much more. But Father, what we're looking to do here is not become experts. There's no such thing. Because it's unfathomable when something that You've created comes to earth. All we can do is just touch it in just the least little way, but the authority and the power that comes with it, God, is from You. And so I pray that we will not be afraid, but God, we will be wise. I pray, God, that we will not be those that shirk away from the things that we can easily understand, but recognize that You are working in our lives, in this church, in a way, God, that's going to bring glory and honor to You. And it may very well be for that person I've been praying for. You may give me a prophetic word for something to encourage someone, to help them to learn, to warn someone. God, all of these things are Your hand. Protect us, God, from the lies of the enemy. Protect us, God, from those things that are not of You. Give us clarity, spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear the truth and the truth alone. And we thank You, God, for that. Again, God, bless all of those that are not feeling well today, and just pray, God, that You would strengthen them and keep each of us safe until we come back together again. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I pray these things. Amen.